Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here I am in the wind again, floating where it takes me. Laughing and splashing in the summer sun until the alarm clock wakes me. Then it's coffee and a kiss and two cigarettes, and I'm back out in the cold, cold weather, chasing my dream, but I just can't seem to rub two coins together.
Sing it.
Life ain't easy.
They never said it for me.
Life ain't easy.
Because of his surgery today, I sat for 20 minutes, and there's already 3 inches to 4 here. So it's coming. Yeah. It's coming down good, good.
Oh, man, it's been a heck of a week for me. And I wish your brother the best, Bob. You know I do. Your brother Lonnie. Lonnie, I wish your brother Bob the best. You know I do. And talked to my mom today, so I knew how he's done pretty good about it.
Yep. Well, we were worried about you too all week. Been a heck of a week.
Oh, yes, it has.
I'm so grateful to all the people, take your families, and across the world and, you know, the globe. I got so many messages, and I'm grateful, and I'm humbled. I'm thankful for each and every one of them who prayed for me, and I'm grateful for Chad, who was able to get down here and help me when I needed it.
And I'm grateful for God to let me be there to be up here and to make sure he's all okay.
Okay, let's get some things out of the way. My heart attacks weren't caused by stress. They were caused by 60% of my arteries being clogged, main arteries being clogged. And they can't do a stent until you're 70%. So to me, this was like, I got a heads up here and a chance to turn this around before it gets to there.
Yeah, I don't like when they have to open up people's chest.
I don't like when they have to stick sticky things to my chest. But, again, I'm grateful. And now, you know, now I'm looking forward to July 13th through the 20th.
Yeah.
Patriot Family Reunion at Delaney Creek Park. Look it up. It's on Facebook. They're on anywhere. Google it. Heck, I don't care how you get it. Delaney Creek Park, Scottsburg, Indiana. We've got the cabins reserved, so call and get your cabin. At Patriot Families, you can get a hold of Joe or me or Linda or any one of us. I'm sure we can give you the information. Those who live in southern Indiana, you should know where it's at. But we're planning on having just a good time, relaxing weekend, fellowship. I think I said we're not going to talk politics.
Oh, well, you have to.
That's what we do.
But it's still a relaxing weekend.
I'm going to get us, I guarantee you, I will get us some music there. I'm going to try to get a couple of bands there on a Friday, or at least one, and then at least two on a Saturday.
Oh, that would
I'm even looking for a country music band. As everybody knows, I'm a rocker, old-style rocker. So I'm looking for some country music, too. Having trouble getting into BTR's chat room, so I can't see if anybody says anything or whatever. But you're free to call in here at 646-378-0321, and we'll talk to you. Now, back to what's happening
around the world.
What's happening?
Oh, wow.
Benghazi. We just keep finding out, you know.
And it's looking more and more like it was the White House.
Well, to me, it's looked that
way. That's what it's looking like to my eye. Okay, I mean, everything. All I want to know is, why was they told to stand down? That's what I don't understand. You're American. There was American people there. Heck, yeah, send your fighters. Send anybody. At least attempt it. There was no attempt.
You would not know you didn't have time from the get-go.
And then to hide the survivors?
It goes beyond all that.
Oh, it's
all
farther
the,
and farther.
It's all the cover-up and stuff. And if we, anyone who saw Bill O'Reilly's interview with the great ass holiness, you heard him say that none of this stuff would be even mentioned or talked about. There wouldn't be no scandals if it wasn't for Fox News. Well, that's not true, because I'm telling you what, the information has flowed and flowed and flowed, and it hasn't all been from Fox News.
Oh, just like the whistleblower, if any of that stuff he's spouted off about, oh, yeah, well, that we wouldn't have knew that if it wasn't for him.
Well, it goes beyond.
And
it's the whole point that...
Why would they have to hide?
That the supposedly most open government is... actually the most secretive government ever. And they keep give us a list of who is of our elected and our elitist carbon exchanges.
Oh, yeah.
So we can know who it is that's doing all this stuff, fighting against coal, fighting against oil, fighting against natural gas, fighting against and trying to instill a global carbon tax that they will profit from.
People profit?
Well, see, there again. And I heard Ted Cruz today on the floor of Congress for the Senate, and he said something I think you've heard me say before about opportunity. And when you get an opportunity, it's what you do with it. Bono, the lead singer of U2, was a big fan amongst the liberals until he stood up and said that capitalism was the answer to the problem. And they kind of put him to the side in a retrospect since then. And we see that when you find out someone's a conservative, a celebrity, you see them getting attacked. We've seen, you know, to say that these would not be scandals without Fox News. Well, the truth is,
they're just getting it out there for we as people. Or we the
people like they're scandals. To me, they're scandals on their own merit.
Yes,
their own merits is what makes them scandals. And when you have to lie and whatever to try to cover stuff up.
Yep.
When you knew what you knew, it was not a you knew it was a terrorist attack. You said from the get go, but then you still sent Susan Rice out there to tell a lie.
Push that line. Push that line.
And you punish the guy for the video, which I think Hillary Clinton and whoever owed him.
Yeah, they really need to let him out of jail.
We're just so far into this agenda they're pushing on us, and they're going to get desperate, because the more we wake up and the more we speak and the more that was uncovered,
the more we
unite, the more desperate they're going to be. So they're going to push harder and harder to get their way put in. It like the farm bill, many, many reasons. Here we are again, the debt ceiling. Everybody says, well, I've heard liberals saying, well, he cut the debt. If he cut the debt, why the hell do we have to keep raising the debt ceiling then? He didn't cut no debt.
No.
That clock had never stopped spinning. It has never stopped gaining.
Oh, no, it hasn't.
And today alone, I'm hearing another $2.5 trillion through either to actually put the farm bill the other one. What was it? Oh, health care.
Oh, yeah.
Health care is going to increase our national debt another $1.2 trillion. Health care is going to cost 2.3 million jobs.
And the ones that don't, they're going to go across the...
But meanwhile, we're going to block Exxon Pipeline because that creates jobs. We can't have that.
Oh, yeah. He's been blocking it all along.
Exactly. They're playing games for their green agenda. And the truth is they're invested in the green agenda.
If they were
invested the other way around, this wouldn't be a problem.
I've always was told, look out for the wolf, what was in sheep's clothing.
Well, you're dead right there. You're dead right there.
They may say, and they look a certain way, they may say what you think you would like to hear. But the truth is,
my wife's phone.
That's okay, people. But, I mean, it's just a big scam.
Scam seems to be the way of politics.
And why does the government need to lie to us? Why do they need to, come on, tell us the truth. Country would be a lot better people. But just the scandals and everything that the government's been pushing. I mean, like we were talking a while ago about Benghazi. Why keep that from the American people? Why keep that from the people that loved ones, what was lost? Their parents, the loved ones, they all want to know why. Why happened? Why is it all being swept under the rug?
Well, that goes in many ways and about in many different areas that the government is covering things up because they don't want the public to know.
Was it the weapons what the government provided Al-Qaeda? I mean, what killed them people? Like the Fast and Furious?
And that's interesting that you bring that up because I just read an article today on Fast and Furious where Holder is begging the court not to release the records that corresponded with the White House.
And that makes no sense.
And it just that just throws more fire.
Yeah.
More wood on the fire. Because it's like, here's another attempt to cover it, keep things silent and cover it up. And we continuously keep seeing these kinds of things. You're seeing Obama talk, going out here and pushing income inequality. I got news for you. There is nobody, you know, if Obama could even come close to believing the crap he's saying, he would be giving up half of his wealth. Do you see him doing it? Do you see any of these people who are solidly building wealth while they're talking about taking wealth away from others? Do you see them giving up any wealth? No. Wake up. They only want to share the wealth with themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to share it with the people. They want to control the people. It's like you are becoming their puppies, their dogs, their kittens. You're their pet.
Because we don't know any better. That's what they think.
Right, because
American people, I know better than that.
They're trying to make us dependent upon the government, just like certain pets become dependent upon their masters.
And there's a lot of people out there, I need to tell you, nothing, you can get nothing for free. I mean, yeah, you may have the nice people out there, what will hand, you know what I'm saying, if you're starving, yes. You need a place to lay your head, yes. But
well,
not too much is free.
There you go. There are so many empty houses in this country that all the people homeless could have six.
Oh, yes. But now they don't want to do that.
Well, no. And they'll keep building more.
Well, guys, I don't mean to interrupt you. I got a caller, area code 812. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind?
Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead.
I think they just called in to listen.
That's fine.
All righty, then. It's fine with us. Just make sure if you got anything to say, you go right in and talk.
If you notice, I live in the state of Indiana, and they've been making some pretty conservative moves of late. We're going to catch heat from it eventually.
Yes.
Just like
Arizona, eventually.
Just like Arizona did on their immigration bill, and just like, you know, other states, South Carolina, when they went after them, and that's just how it's going to be. Healthcare. And then the glitches keep coming.
Boy, people, I went to church with my family Sunday, and we had one of the awesomest services, I mean, you could have. I mean, it was meant for us to be there. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord was just coming through this church. We had a dinner, and then we had some more singing. And we just had a pretty good time. And he discussed with the people, you know what I'm saying, like how they're trying to push like the gay. Well, that's just an abomination right there, no matter how you look at it. I mean, he had a pretty good sermon.
He talked about the depth of the government was going into taking for control of stuff and
oh yeah
other things. He didn't go into depth. Truthfully, he could have went into depth about the attacks of Christianity and all this to go on.
But he just made sure the people knew us that we were in the end, towards the end time in Revelation.
He pays attention. He follows up on stuff. And I give him credit for that. There's a lot of them that don't do that. They just go in there to, I don't know what they're thinking. We can't continue the way we're going.
No.
And as one of the keys to Agenda 21 is cultural destruction. If you bring that about using illegal aliens, foreigners that you bring here under other guises such as I don't know, you bring these those from Muslim countries here, and that's asylum seekers, so that's not counted in your immigration numbers. And who really knows the numbers, because the government's not going to tell you what the real numbers are.
They never do.
If they do, it would be after the fact.
After it's done,
yeah.
Done for America.
We granted amnesty to 10 million, and then it turns out to be, well, when we got done counting, there were 34 million.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not racist. I mean, come here the right way. You know what I'm saying? The money put forth that, towards the fence. You know what I'm saying? The border. Why don't you finish the border? Let them come in the right way. But, because the given amnesty is like a spit to the, in the face of the people standing in the line. I mean, that. Why don't the ones in line be the first people?
To those that are following the laws and the rules, it is a spit in their face. But it's not only that. Those that are coming that way don't understand why they're being allowed to come that way. The truth is, you're being used.
The government's using
you're being used. You're being used to try to destroy this culture and to bring in a culture that accepts total government control. And then you start whittling down the population to that 1 billion to 500 million. You, my friends, will be expendable.
Yep.
So you're being set up. In a way, you are. If they were really wanting to help you, they'd be helping you in your home countries and stuff. They seem to be sticking their nose in everybody in the Middle East business.
They're not helping the ones
that are not helping nothing there. They're called, all they do is cause trouble there.
Because it don't sound like the government what's in Mexico is, I mean, any good.
And
or the people what's, I mean, ahead.
Big kudos to the Seattle Seahawks for their victory.
Yes, that was a pretty good game.
You ever thought maybe that might have been revenge from God for what you did to Tebow?
Could have been.
But it was. It was. It showed. And there again, people don't study history. If you don't review history and stuff, you're going to repeat it. Well, in the NFL, I don't know if a lot of people know this, that no number one defensive team has ever lost a Super Bowl.
That's
and
true.
And the monkey was right.
Yes.
Okay.
What was that, Lonnie?
What's that? I said,
oh,
that's
I thought
true.
You said.
Number one, no, there never has the number one defense lost a game. I mean, it was, I watched the game. It was a good game. It wasn't the greatest that I've seen play, but, you know, when you got the number one defense going against number one offense, there's going to be a collision. I mean, their offense wasn't the greatest. It was the defense that took care of the Broncos.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Well, the interception. I agree.
Well, you know, what gets me is, you know, we'll talk about this for a minute. What really gets me, and it gets under my skin very much, you know, and this was set back 25 years ago, that no matter how the game is played, the quarterback's going to be the fault at it. You see how many times they're blaming it. I seen on Facebook, Peyton choked again. Okay, there's 12 people that play, you know, out there at a time.
Yeah.
Or 11. It's not just his fault.
But in
I got to agree with Lonnie. They were outplayed at almost every position.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and you know what? But you know what the funny thing about it was?
If Peyton arm, you know, he wouldn't have had the fumble. He wouldn't have
the ball.
It takes a team play.
Yeah.
The other
and you know what?
They wanted to win. They were game
and you know,
tackling. It was
yeah,
one
they
guy
were.
Mixed. One, two, three, four guys. Your defensive
you know
linemen were clear out to the outside and tackling people before they could get downfield.
Some big guys was coming.
They were hustling. They out-hustled them.
Pretty good game.
And
you know what's really funny is that he still, and it's something that most people don't know, I don't know if they do or not, he still set a record as the most passes and receiver that was there, even though he didn't win. They still had more passes in that Super Bowl by him or any other quarterback.
You got to figure, Peyton's 37 years old. Brady's 33. Brady's right on top of him. So
yeah.
Any record Peyton sets, Brady's going to pass the
exactly.
Next year or stuff.
And
Except for one.
I agree.
And that's Brady's interception record.
But I saw
some patriotism there during the Super Bowl, the halftime show. Music didn't thrill me, I'll be honest.
No.
Still, you know, and this ideology that Coca-Cola put out of this commercial with singing and all these other languages and stuff, and that just ruined it, Coke, for me.
Yeah, some people got upset about that. I did, too.
Well, that's,
but,
I mean, that's our song.
That, you got to realize, the elites who run, who own these big major places like Coca-Cola, others, well, they're part of the elitist group that thinks that they should control us all. And they're going to push their agenda and ideologies at us any way they can. You're going to see Hollywood start pushing more and more liberal, left, socialist, progressive ideology at us in movies and everything else. It's coming.
It's coming. I can see it.
And you're going to see,
I get already on my TV at home.
You'll, you know, there's, it's, yeah, it's getting to the point that we're fighting the Common Core and stuff. They want to change our history and rewrite it to make it something that it wasn't. So that it makes them pushing their agenda seem like it.
Yeah.
Not one of these people are what they think they are.
Exactly.
I don't care.
I love it. How are you?
God, you're not more valuable.
Hanging in there.
Than the person over here that struggles to survive. You're not, you know, they're just, money doesn't make you more valuable.
Hello, Miss Linda.
Hey, hi, Bill. Hope you're doing better. Hope everybody, Chad and Lonnie and everybody. Yeah, you know, I was watching Glenn today, and he had a few interesting things on there today talking about the economy, and I wish that Ron could have seen it, because it was like he was speaking instead of this other gentleman. I can't remember his name, but he was talking about the BRICS nations, and he was talking about, you know, the QE, and he was explaining to Glenn that that these people, these other nations, do not give a rat's behind about what we do. They're going to do what's in their best interest. And, hey, that's just the way it's going to be. So, and like Mike was talking about the collapse and the imminent war battle, because I don't see any other way around it. And a lot of people are aware of these things, the QE garbage, the inflation, the artificially low interest rates, the impending collapses. They're out there protecting. They're people that I didn't even think would realize these things are actually buying gold and silver as a hedge against all this mess. So it's scary, because it's so close. I mean, I'm surprised it hasn't happened already, but.
Yep, I wonder how well that gold or silver is going to digest.
Well, you know, it's better than
where are you going to trade this gold and silver?
Well, okay. I just don't want to be stuck with the fiat currency as my only any method of anything.
That's totally understandable.
I understand.
But I know people that are like trying to hoard it up. And I'm like, well, and they're saying I'll be able to buy whatever, and I'm thinking,
okay. I'm trying to diversify, because I'm doing other things as well. I have extra water, going to get the filter. I've got all kinds of extra goodies in my first aid kit. I've even got some Cipro, which is a pretty good damn antibiotic if you need it. I have extra salve, all these things. I've got extra food storage, rice, beans, canned goods, anything you can name. The next step, I want to get some barter items, because I know cigarettes and Jack Daniels is going to go a long way. So those are the things I'm doing.
I have a stash of Cipro myself.
Yeah. So,
I know it's a counter to a biological agent.
Well, yeah, it's also good for if you have a horrible urinary tract infection, just saying. But seriously, I mean, it will work for that. So, but that's the point. There's just things you have to do. You have to diversify. You can't. I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket, so to speak. So. And then there was another incident.
You can't, because yes, you may have some where you have to try to buy something, but you're also going to have to be worried about. I mean, supplies. Supplies aren't going to be there to get stuff.
No.
Right.
Like you can go to the market.
Yeah.
I mean,
So you got to stock up on those things too, and that's why I'm saying.
Oh yeah, and one of the things.
Up in gold and silver.
And one of the things.
Stack up some
that
food. Stuff like that.
One of the most valuable commodities, believe me, will be toilet paper. So get some of that too, guys.
Oh, a leaf will work.
I know, but there aren't too many leaves where I live, so.
Yes.
But, you know, because I can never know if I lose my call. The other thing that we're talking about is throughout the different states, Florida and others, the progressives are at it again. They're renaming Common Core. So everybody be aware. They're calling it some fancy progressive nonsense. So get the word out to all your local communities.
They always change the names. Yeah, they change the names to all kinds of crap. It's the same policy, just different names.
Yeah.
Trying to disguise it.
Oh, yeah, they're going to lie. So just everybody be aware of it and put it on Facebook. Put it everywhere you can. Email it. You know what I'm saying? Just don't let anybody be fooled by this stuff. And the other one that Glenn did a great deal on today was this garbage, the Myras. Have you heard about this stuff? Oh, jeez. He wants these poor, unsuspecting fools to invest in these government bonds, et cetera, and you know, with all of their retirement. They're going to get fleeced, and I mean, talk about fleeced sheeple. Oh, man. This is evil. Everybody be aware and tell your neighbors, don't do it. Tell everybody that's still working, don't do it.
Well, the surveillance movement is on. I mean, now, you know, we've all seen it on the news that they want to put these boxes in the cars. But they say cars can talk to each other, but they can also talk to whoever. Did anyone ever think that they could also control your car that way? So if you was like a pain in the butt, they can cause you to wreck?
Oh, exactly. They can shut your engine off. So the other thing to be aware of, I think that's down the road, but I'm not sure how far down the road it is. The other thing that they're going to do, which is even far worse, and they're going to do it under the guise of the war on drugs, they're going to put up 30,000 to 60,000 drones in the United States to track every automobile everywhere, all day, all night, all the time. And this is craziness. So be aware of that nonsense, too. It's evil. It's just one more, you know, giant iron-fisted anvil coming down on you. So that's what they're planning. So just, again, it's not fun. I mean, they're just – did anybody hear the snippets of that idiot, as you call him, his assholiness being interviewed by my not-so-favorite show host, Bill O'Reilly? I mean, the guy not only lied, which is what he does best, I mean, he just dodges and weaves and lies some more. I mean, the guy – and then he blames everyone else. It's unbelievable. It's just, you know – And then,
but narcissism.
Oh, it's sick. I mean, it's just sick. And then the people who continue whatever percentage it is left to support him and his policies, it's just to me, it's like I've already gone down the rabbit hole. I'm in the Twilight Zone, and Rod Serling's about to come up and say. No, 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 no. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can't believe it. Yeah, how I feel.
I can agree with you.
I keep waiting for anybody who's interviewing him to ask, are you invested or are you tied to carbon exchange in any way?
The Chicago Climate Exchange and the North Shore Bank. Oh, yeah. And the Joyce Foundation. And Joel Rogers.
They closed that down and they moved took their carbon exchange memberships offshore.
Sure. Well, they have to hide everything. They have to lie. That's all they ever do.
That is one list. The one list that if we could get that list to show the people who these people are who are setting themselves up to make billions and trillions off of this carbon, man-made global warming carbon scam, then we could also probably tear down and remove some of these people from holding any office or any kind of position ever.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, you can only dream.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in and out because I'm okay, so just keep talking.
I see one of the guests, they said it's Patrick Rohrbach, and we want to say hello, Pat. Pat was there with us a long time ago in the beginnings and stuff and friend of the Patriot family. We keep seeing, you know, it's just the little things piece by piece that they're doing behind our backs. I heard Obama say that Nixon was the most liberal president, and he pointed out because he created the EPA. You're using the EPA like no one ever used it before. When the EPA can go out and tell a town, you got to give up your city. Where the hell did the EPA get that kind of authority?
Yeah.
When the EPA puts out is being controlled by a progressive group, everything they do is about taking away, is regulating and taking control, regulating and taking control. And there are so many other groups out there, every one of them getting taxpayer dollars. Why do we have to
work again? To work.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't understand a lot of things because they don't take the time to look into and redo the research and then
investigate it.
We were watching the Senate today and Harry Reid, and you wonder how did he get by with his crap.
I don't see how he gets, by with blocking, just totally blocking the Republicans and all that and just passing whatever. It just makes no sense. I mean, that is not what you're getting paid to do. You're getting paid to do something for your country. You are the representative. When you guys start learning that you work for us,
but
we're supposed to be all together.
But there we are. We're back to their ideology. Is that we are not smart enough. And I'm going to tell you, I did pretty good in school. And I don't know anybody who's a politician that I was in school with that is a politician now who is even close to me or the other higher-up graded kids in the class. What they're good at is this. They're good at getting an office and finding a way to pad their own
pockets. Their pockets, pad their family's pockets as they're screwing us.
Exactly. you look at, I've just seen a recent thing about how much they were, the net Congress and Senate was worth. And it was like, oh my God, there was I don't know how many millionaires amongst them.
When somebody like me, I ain't going to see that kind of money in my whole life. My family probably all combined don't do that kind of money.
But
we're still richer than probably they are.
Right, because you understand that the true wealth of a man is not by money.
Materialism. It's
by how many loves him.
No, they're not measured by materialistic things. I'm sorry. A man is not measured by that.
Well, you and I, Lonnie, we were all raised in families where, you know, family was a big issue and remains so today. You look out for your family. You care about your family. And we're like the next of kin movie. You mess with one and we'll all show up. But in there, we have a loyalty to the family. And under Agenda 21, and one of the things that just the Common Core works at is this. They want to change your loyalty to your parents, your loyalty to your family, to where your top loyalty is not to them. They want to change your loyalty in your churches and stuff to where it's not to God or whoever, but it's to the collective. They want everything to be catered to and centered to them. The people will be loyal to them. The people will worship them. the people will be their little workers, and while they sit back and live like kings and sultans. Well, that's not how.
Had to get to that.
Well, we've let it get there.
We've let it get.
And many people have been screaming about this. Linda is always on Agenda 21.
But there's too many people out there that can't happen.
Well,
more and more people is opening their eyes and saying, hey, maybe we know that it shouldn't happen. It is against the Constitution. But they sure push the stuff on through.
Well, but they benefit out of it, and they're padding their own pockets.
Thinking,
yeah, I mean, there should be term limits. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, no.
And there should be an age limit of how old you can be and hold office.
Well, they should have the same term limit as that the president has. You can only go 2 terms, and that's it.
When you get to looking, earmarks and pork barrel spending is nothing more than political bribery to get someone to side with someone else. And they use that, but that's not their money. That is the taxpayers' money.
That's right. And they can't.
And they're padding their pocket from the taxes they impose upon us.
And they're sending our money across seas. And
yes, knowing we're $17 trillion plus dollars in debt, and they can go over here and promise somebody $80 billion here and $80 billion there, and I don't know how they, you know, that's a whole other show to get into that. They scream about big oil, but do they ever put out their, the government makes this much money off of big oil and taxes.
Oh, no, they don't want to tell you that.
Do they ever put out there, hey, we're on cigarettes, we're going to be on them again here.
Oh, well, there was a special on my TV.
But how much money
they're
do they
raise
taxes off of cigarettes?
They're going to tax
now,
cigarettes for $1 more.
Now, if you take away the oil and you take away the cigarette, you know they're going to lose so many billions of dollars in taxes. So they're going to have to tax something else to make that up.
Oh, yeah.
Then they'll tax. They'll find something where they can tax everybody.
And then they'll start taxing food.
Well, they already do in what many ways.
Into a state, yeah. But.
You want to talk about a leech. A leech, you know, is a bloodsucker. It attaches itself and it just drains the vitals out of the host. Well, that's what our elected have become. They attach themselves to the American taxpayers' money, and then they suck it out in just different little ways. And they've been doing this for a while.
Oh, yeah. It's not just since Obama's been in there.
I just want to slap any politician, Republican or Democrat, who says that they've ever cut the deficit.
No.
Because you've never... Just because you're not spending as much as you wanted to spend does not mean you're cutting the deficit.
No, because that would mean that thing would
that deficit
backwards.
It keeps raising, and it's going to, after this weekend, if they get these things through, you're going to see right there it's going to add another $3 trillion to the deficit when it's all said and done. And
know they're going to push it through because, I mean.
Well, I've told you, I'm not going to be surprised if 2016, when Obama leaves office, that he hasn't set us up at a $30 trillion deficit. More than tripling
people,
what it was
before
we came in office.
A lot of money.
I don't think it's going to take that long.
I don't either.
You can't pay back the interest. You can't pay the interest on what you owe now.
No. He just wants to borrow more and get more away.
I don't understand.
Take all of his vacations like he's been doing and his wife's been doing.
In all my years in school and in college and stuff, I don't understand this. How do you think that when you cannot pay the debt on the interest on the debt you owe, that borrowing more money is the answer?
No, that just adds to it. It don't subtract it. It adds to it. I mean, is that another one of the government math?
Yeah. They show what is owed on interest only. It's not the true deficit. The true deficit is way higher than $17 trillion. And printing money doesn't help you. All you're doing is creating and setting it up for a disaster that I don't know how you ever recover from, if you do.
I think you guys, everybody, and I know Ron's been trying to teach us these things, and I'm really grateful for that because I'm still trying to learn it. But the structure of a central bank and this Federal Reserve System is so insidious and it's so dishonest. I mean, Ron Paul talked about it incessantly. Everybody who understands, I mean, the guy that was on Glenn's show today, he gets it. He only had a few minutes with Glenn. He probably could have done a whole hour by himself on this situation. It's debt. Everything is debt. This is not real money. It's funny money, and it's a shell game, and it's horrible. And we are slaves.
We have a elected assumed math and assumed science, which means they're making an ass out of you and me.
Yeah.
Because they sure as hell can't add or subtract, and they sure as hell don't know anything about science.
They don't care. That's the problem. And
the only thing they care about, Linda, is finding a way to funnel that money back to their pocket.
Well, that in their own power and their own constant perpetual job and their little cushy whatever corner of the world, and they're it's power. It's pure power and control, and they don't look at us. They look at us like Maurice Strong, you know, like we're bugs. But we're bugs that keep producing what they want. I mean, it's sick.
Before I go, I would someday like to get face to face with Mr. Maurice.
No, you better be well armed. I'll help you.
Well,
take him out.
I'm like Maurice. I'm bringing a strong family with me.
Absolutely.
He is a disgrace to our name, and I spit upon him.
Yeah, I think that all of these people in some way or another are just, especially the ones in that caliber, that much power, I think that they're connected to great darkness and evil. I really believe that, a long line of it. I do. I mean, that's the only thing I can, because the conclusions that one can see, it's just, it's horrible. It's just not right. So, and I was thinking about, because I'm going to do a little bit of stuff on my show tomorrow. I'm going to read from this fabulous piece. It was done by my friend Ken, who's also going to probably be on my show answering questions, et cetera. And he printed this out, and it would probably take you an hour and a half to read it if you just sat down and read the whole thing. And it's got all these highlights about Obamacare. And I can't remember which website he got it from, but I will ask him tomorrow. And I'm going to make copies of that piece, and I'm going to bring them to Delaney for people. And I'm also going to put some pocket constitutions in my suitcase, and whoever comes from, wherever they come from, they can, I can get a few of them out there. So I think we should take this opportunity to educate people to the best of our ability. So,
and that's what we're trying to do. I had a relative down here, and she went off about the Tea Party, and listened to her talk. She didn't have no concept of what or who the Tea Party even is. And just, it blew my mind. But I'm the type you're going to hear. And I try to let them know right then and there that the Tea Party wasn't what they thought it was, who they thought it was, and that we didn't support a bigger government. We didn't support
we need a smaller government. I think there's too many people in the government.
It's huge. It's a leviathan. Yeah.
Why do we need that big of a government?
When you have so many areas that are doing the same damn thing.
Oh, yeah. It's the redundancy, the abuse, the fraud, the waste. I know.
Hello, Ron.
I've
how are you?
I've been teaching that
damn job. Deficit. We need an internal affairs that investigates the elected and all this stuff that and they're not tied to any political organization or nothing. Just we need an internal investigator. We just need it because we are being bamboozled left and right, bamboozled. I got something today
like
about
word.
Christie and, oh, the threat, and I'm like, who gives a damn about Christie? Christie's not what I consider a conservative.
No, he was just getting thrown on our faces.
Well, they'll use anything.
Well, the first thing you got to ask is what are you trying to conserve?
Okay.
That's the very first thing you need to ask. And, you know, I used to talk about this when I first started out, but it's very complicated. And Patrick is right. It is the lawyers that screwed this up, but they had a lot of help. And the help that they had was a complicit and complacent public.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we talk about when we talk about consent. Okay? So if you want to conserve something, the very first thing you need to realize and understand is what is it you want to conserve? And I've talked about incorporation before.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had my way, if I were a dictator for a day, I would outlaw it. I would also outlaw insurance. And, you know, God put it on my heart to understand something several years ago. And I started into it, but I never really followed through. And it's been since that time that I failed to follow through that I've not gotten a lot more guidance, we'll say. And what he put it on my heart was to read Leviticus, and not just to read Leviticus, but to know it and to understand it, okay? And not just understand the words that it says, but understand what it is. I've recently started back listening to someone that I used to listen to some time ago. And this gentleman will inform you quite correctly that the reason that many people don't understand the Bible is because they don't understand the code. The Bible is like legal code. There is Christ said that when he was asked, why are you speaking in parables? And he said, well, you know, because I don't, basically, because, you know, if they're not supposed to hear it, they won't. And they won't understand it. They won't see and they won't hear. So you have to be able to read the code that's in the scripture, in the Bible. And all of the organic law that we have is derived from biblical law. You know, you go back to the founders and the framers of this country, when they went to law school, where do you think they learned law from? They learned it from Leviticus and Deuteronomy. That's where the law stems from. Okay, now man has put his spin on it, and we've perverted it. So basically, in essence, the sum total of it is you have two different areas that you can operate in under the law. You can be a free man and a sovereign, right, operating under God's law and the common law, or you can be a bond man, a bond servant that is under contract, and that's what 99.99999% of all the people in the United States of America are, because they've signed up, whether knowingly or unknowingly, they've signed up for all kinds of government benefits. When you go into a business and you go back into the office or the break room, you're going to find hanging on the wall a piece of pink paper, okay? And it's got all this stuff on there.
All that stuff
on there, it tells you these are things as an employee that you are entitled to. And it even gives you a phone number to call should you have a grievance. Okay, that's called covered employment. Covered. What does that mean, covered? Well, your position as an employee you are covered under a whole list of various government benefits programs. Things like unemployment insurance, mm-hmm. workers' compensation, health care, and a whole slew of OSHA, and a whole slew of other things. Minimum wage laws, okay? You, because you're receiving government benefits, there must be a contract here somewhere where you've, and it's a performance contract. You've promised to do something, and in return for that doing something, you get benefits. But there is no free lunch.
Right.
Okay? So the thing that we need to be asking is, what is it we're trying to preserve? Because there's two systems in operation within
yep.
our country. There absolutely is. And, you know, I know Mike said there's no money anymore. That's absolutely not true. Because you can go straight to Title 31, Section 5101 through 5131, and that lays out gold and silver coinage. It lays out mm-hmm. all the weights and measures of government coinage and Federal Reserve notes.
Yeah, but how are you going to trade it if the guy has everything
trade
failed?
What do you mean?
If everything fails and it's just total chaos everywhere, where are you going to take this?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother ballgame. Okay.
That's what I meant by the time, that time when I made the comment, you know, about the chicken eggs. So well, I could tell you a dozen
eggs. Absolutely. And make no mistake that, you know, unless there's some kind of earth-shattering shift in human nature and the abilities of man, there will be people out there that are looking to trade mm-hmm. something. And, you know, they might want to trade something that you really don't need or want.
Yeah, I can.
But if they have gold or silver.
Ron, it could be that you had the chickens and I had tame rabbits. We might trade back and forth.
Right, but you might not have any use for rabbits. Being a Christian, you might not want to eat rabbits. You know, you might say, well, a rabbit doesn't fall under the biblical
right.
food guidelines, so I can't eat a rabbit, and I don't know anybody else that wants one. But if I've got something you want, if you've got a silver dime, I would trade you that silver dime for what I have that you want. Because I know I can take it and trade it to someone else down the road. So, you know, we can't be everything. And there are going to be things that we do want that we can't do ourselves, that we don't have. So, but I mean, I don't want to get too far off down the rabbit hole of, you know, I still think there will be things of value that can be traded, salt. Linda
mm-hmm.
talked about whiskey, cigarettes. You know, there'll be all kinds of things that'll be tradable commodities.
Coffee, toilet paper.
Yeah, coffee, sugar, butter. I mean, you know, there are other things besides just gold and silver. I think gold and silver is just one thing we can do to help safeguard
mm-hmm.
ourselves. And it's just simply a way of storing time and effort
value
that I've already expended that I can't recoup. I can't get that back.
And
so,
the other thing that what that hard money is, it's actually when you're carrying it around, whether it's a couple coins or a bag of coins, it's a medium of exchange.
Right.
It's part of a free market and voluntary association. That's the way I understood it when I took
right.
my
and there and course. There will be other people that have coins and other things that they'll
right.
be willing to exchange. And it's a whole lot easier to carry a silver dollar in your pocket than it is two chickens
yep.
under your arm. I mean, you know, so there's a place for it. There's a use for it. You know, there will even be a use for the fiat paper currency because, you know, Linda, as you pointed out, toilet paper might be in short supply.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I know that because if it gets that bad, that's probably what I'll be using. Or else I'll burn it to keep warm for a minute.
my point was, and that's a point I was trying to make with Michael as well, but he had to run for his show. we say that it's not voluntary, but it absolutely is. Now, we can claim that we were ignorant of the law, we didn't know what we were doing, and that's accurate, because
right.
we didn't. We don't. I'm still very ignorant of much of it. But
and they keep adding to it, you know.
Well, precisely. And you know, we talk about what the heck do we need with this agency or that agency. All they're doing is holding up their end of the bargain with all of these benefits that they're promising, see?
Sure.
So they have to have all these agencies and these things to oversee all these benefits to make sure it's fair and equitable for everyone that's in line for benefits. But now, when you get back to being a free man,
mm-hmm.
that's not a bond servant, you know, if you could rescind those contracts.
Sure.
And it's not something that I would recommend someone do all at once overnight and go out and try to live, because you're going to find yourself in a bad way.
Yeah.
And this is why I've tried to encourage people to go listen to George Gordon. Because the man is very wise beyond his years. And, you know, he gives you some statistics, and I know that they're true and accurate. Do you realize that out of all the cases that go to court, 94% of the time the defendant is guilty or found guilty, adjudicated guilty, and punished? 94% of the time.
Wow.
94%. Do you know that the IRS has a 98% conviction rate?
Good grief.
Now,
well, I haven't seen it work on Rangel, because it hasn't worked in our government.
Well, they haven't prosecuted Rangel, but they don't want to. If they wanted to, they would, and they would be successful. Here's the thing that the justice system does. They do not like to fully prosecute a case all the way to the end unless they're reasonably certain that they can get a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I talked about on my show last night, if by some chance during the process they realize that, oh, we got a smart one here, this one knows the real deal,
mm-hmm.
they'll find a reason to dismiss your case.
Right.
And it doesn't count as a loss against them, and it never gets publicized, you
sure.
see. But you look at somebody like, oh, I don't know, Wesley Snipes. They made a big production out of going after Wesley Snipes. Why? Because it's all over the news. He's a well-known mm-hmm. personality. They nail him for millions of dollars, and it puts in your mind, you cannot
yep.
beat us. You can't
right.
do it. Okay? And it's not a matter of beating them. If you're within their system, you've got to play by their rules.
Sure.
But there is another set of rules there, and the rules apply universally. And in one of the seminars that George was doing, and I believe it was back in the 90s, okay, the statistics, and this is the crazy part. This is going to blow you away. The statistics at that time were there were 14 million crimes committed against citizens by criminals in that year. In that same year, there were 14,600,000 crimes committed against civilians by the police.
Wow.
That were not prosecuted. Not all of them are prosecuted. So it's kind of like, you know, that doctors kill more people than the diseases and the things that we're chasing after to presumably cure.
Sure.
It's kind of like terrorists. He said, you know, if you took all the terrorists, all the people that have been killed by terrorists in the last 25 years, you'd have less than 100,000 people. In 10 years, we kill more than that in auto accidents.
Good grief.
In fact, if a terrorist shot down an airplane with 500 people on it every day for 365 days straight, they wouldn't kill as many people as auto accidents.
That's astounding. Yeah. So what they're doing, Ron, is they've got us completely hoodwinked from morning, noon, and night.
Exactly, and this is what I talk about when I tell people you don't understand freedom. You don't know
right.
what your rights are. You don't have any clue what your rights are. You really don't have any clue what freedom is. You think you do. And
mm-hmm.
these people run around, okay, and they think freedom means, you know, a big screen TV and a computer
and
go to work, pay my
Super
taxes.
Bowl Sunday.
Right,
yeah.
yeah. That nothing could be further from the truth.
Right.
You know, but again, when you place yourself into something that government can regulate, something called
sure.
commerce, okay?
Right.
Then there you have a contractual obligation, because I forget exactly how it's worded, but basically the gist of it is that without the state, you would not be able to produce income under their definition, okay, without the protections of the state. And therefore, you owe the state a duty, a fee, a tax. And it's measured by the amount of income produced by the activity you're undertaking. And it's all in business. It's all, corporations and incorporation and limited liability. You know, the
right.
Bible teaches strict liability. There's nothing in the scripture about limited liability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what insurance is, limiting your liability. You put
right.
the liability
right.
on someone else.
So there's
that's
no
why
personal
insurance
responsibility
is a bad
here.
Thing. There you go. That's it in a nutshell.
If you don't have maximum responsibility, you do not have maximum freedom. And those two go together, and that's when you get people who are actually willing to go out like the mountain man in Montana and fight City Hall and go fishing without a license because he's hungry. He doesn't
Absolutely.
Want to deal with yeah. Not
you know,
saying
and George has got a great story. One of his students, she was from Ketchikan, Alaska, and she came down. He teaches a school in Isabella, Missouri, and
mm-hmm.
he only accepts gold and silver coin as payment.
Cool.
No Federal Reserve notes. He doesn't do business that way. And if you pay for the class, you can take it as many times as you want.
Cool.
So anyway, she came down to his class, and she went back home, and she had a bunch of unpaid traffic tickets. So she got stopped by the police in her car, and she got arrested, and they took her to jail. And they took her to jail because she had all these unpaid traffic tickets. Well, she filed a lawsuit against them, and she won.
Cool.
Because it's illegal, it's against the law, it's in Alaska, to incarcerate someone for because they owe you money.
It's like debtor's prison.
Exactly.
Old, right.
So she took the case to court, and they paid her $8,000 and said, get out of here, we don't want to see you again.
Wow.
Now, the cops were pretty ticked because she just cleaned their clock for $8,000, and as she was leaving, they knew that she didn't have a driver's license.
Oh.
So they watched her get in her car, and as she drove off, they pulled her over, and they arrested her for driving without a license.
Hmm.
Now, she was wrong.
It cost her $8,000 for the fine.
No. It's interesting. See, she's a female, and they didn't have any female officers there in Ketchikan, Alaska. So they took her to the station in the booking area, and they said, well, what are we going to do here? So they weren't sure what to do, so they gave her a jumpsuit and told her go in there and change into that, jail uniform. So she went in the room, and they waited a good while, and they came and knocked on the door, and they said, are you ready? And she said, no, I'm not, and don't you dare come in here. So they left her alone a while longer, and, they came back. They were getting kind of agitated. They said, are you ready yet? And she said, no, I'm not. Don't you dare come in here. Well, they'd had enough, so they walked in, and there she sat, still in her street clothes. And they said, you need to put that on. She said, I'm not putting that on, and don't you dare touch me. And so the two officers, one grabbed her by either arm and picked her up. Now, that's assault.
Mm,
and
yeah.
They started yanking on her, and she started screaming, no, no, don't rape me. And she tore away from him, fell to the floor, crawled out on all fours into the booking area where there was four or five other people sitting there, and they could see that her blouse was torn open and her bra was torn and her breasts were hanging out. And so she filed another suit. And that cost him $12,000.
No, $20,000 rich.
And she has not had a single interaction with them since.
Love it.
$20,000 richer, too.
So, you know, the gist of the story is that irregardless of how powerful we believe they are, they still have to play by their rules.
Right.
There are established, right, published rules.
Sure.
And I have proven that to my own satisfaction, mm-hmm, because I have defeated them 7 cases on my own. Now, I don't have near as impressive a record as George. George is 64-6. He's lost 6 cases, but they can't all be winners.
Right.
But the point is there are established rules,
mm-hmm,
and the founders told us to know the law and be well-disposed to use it.
Sure.
And we don't know it.
Exactly. You're right.
And it's to our detriment that, mm-hmm, we go out into the world,
yep,
not knowing the law.
What the rules are.
We do not even have a clue as to what our status is under the law. What law are we under? We assume, and
sure,
that puts us at a disadvantage.
Sure
and
does.
They take advantage of that,
mm-hmm,
which is why they will push right up to the edge in the hopes that you will consent.
Sure.
You'll volunteer. And people do it every day without knowing it.
Yeah. Well, guys, I'm going to go back to the chat room and rest here, and maybe go to Mikey's show because I know he's on. So hang in there, and God bless you, and everybody take care. And you do doctor's orders, Bill, okay?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good night.
Maybe I'll tell Linda, and wait till I see you at a Delaney.
Speaking of which, how you feeling, Bill?
I'm feeling pretty good. Wife's looking after me now, and just got to change my eating habits a little bit and get more, a little more active if I can. I was coming out of the hospital just the day I was checking out, and when the doctor found out that I had all my back problems and stuff, she didn't know it. But I haven't felt bad. A little tired here and there, but it was a scary moment for me, Ron. It was a scary moment.
I understand. I'll tell you, my stepfather, who I had quite a bit of contempt for growing up, when he had a five bypass surgery, died twice on the table. Let me tell you, that humbled him straight away.
Oh, I bet.
He's a different man. Very much a different man. And I, you know, it has to be a humbling experience.
It is. And the response when I got out and I went and looked at some of my pages and the emails and that stuff, and I was humbled and overwhelmed in my heart with the outpouring of people praying for me and the good wishes and stuff, and it really, really touched me. And it also makes me take a look at things. And I've had others come up and say, well, now that you've had this, you'll have to stop what you do. And I'm like, you don't understand. Stress had nothing to do with my heart.
Right.
I don't take all this in a stressful way as a lot of people do. I take it as an intellectual challenge, and I keep it at that.
Well, and, you know, I think, honestly, for myself at least, I know, you know, I think we need to get back to, we've gotten so far away from those biblical rules that we should be trying to live by, we should be living by. And by the way, there's dietary rules in there as well on what we're supposed to eat, what we're not supposed to eat. And there's a reason for that. you know, there's a lot of things that we need to change how we look at things. And, you know, as we get older and become grandpas and whatnot, you know, truly the riches in this life is the blessing of family and loved ones, friends and extended family. That's truly the wealth of this life.
It is. And like you said, Bonnie and I, we were all raised in families where you close together. You know, they get mad at a family member, but they're still family.
But you still knew they loved them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was something that was big to the family love. I used to joke because my grandmother was the type.
No, it's actually kind of cool. It's kind of
white. Well, my grandmother was like Hotel California, and she would be like, to get into the family, then to get out.
Well, I'm picking up a lot of background noise, Bill. I don't know if that's you or...
That has to be lying.
No, it ain't me. Really? I can just hear you cutting in and out.
Okay.
Scott was listening. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah, what happened there?
Our group, our Patriot family group, when I think about that, we've been together for a few years and stuff, and it's really, it has become a family to me because I feel like I know them as well or as I know other members of my family and stuff. And I care about what happens to each and every one of you. And still a group and still going. And I think we're going to pick up and get bigger. And but we keep pushing out there. We don't always agree on everything, no. But we're willing to talk. We're willing to hear each other out. Well, we don't have that in our elected. We don't have that where they're actually listening to we the people because they have taken control and they now believe that they are the ones who have all the power and the say and the people are their servant.
Well, and again, I think we have put ourselves into that position. And, you know, there's a couple of ways to go about getting out of it. But, again, I don't believe that taking up arms is a real bright way of doing it. I know there are a lot of folks out there that think that. But all that's going to end up is get people dead.
Yeah. I mean,
the people that think that, Ron, haven't been there and done that.
Well, I agree.
If you have, that's the last thing in the world you ever want to see is that get to that extent.
The last resort.
And I feel like that's what we've been doing is we're working to keep it from getting to that point.
Well, and I still think that the key to getting people out is truly the key is education. Educating people, and until people become educated and they can see the system, the beast, for what it truly is, only then can people begin to recognize that there's a different way. And, you know, it's difficult. It's not easy to go in and study the law, both the Roman law, and Levitical law. And truly, there's a choice of which one you want to follow, which way you want to go.
And that's true. At some point, a man has to look, and a woman, I guess, they have to look at themselves inside out. Step outside yourself and take a look at yourself. We do that,
you know,
and look at we got to look at our country the same way. We got to step back and look at it from different angles of what's going on. And there's many things when you do that, no matter which angle you look at, it ain't good. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. If we want to get the country back, we've got to change the monetary policy. and our monetary system. And one of the ways, one of the things that needs to be done has to do with dealing in commerce. And because by everyone being involved in commerce, you're placing yourself under regulation where there doesn't need to be any, and you shouldn't be regulated. But again, you know, there's a reason there's a huge disconnect between the value of a silver dollar and a paper dollar bill. I mean, there's two currency systems operating here. One is still lawful money. Both are legal tender. They don't carry the same value, the same purchasing power. So we've got to figure out a way to show the largest number of people how to step out of that other system, the commercial system. And that means walking away from those entitlement benefits that so many people feel they're entitled to. You know, if you want to stay under collecting your, you know, Social Security benefits and be, then that's a choice that you've made, and you've got to live with all of the regulations that come with that. But it is a choice.
True. It is a choice.
May not perhaps be a good choice. They might look at it and say, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you still have a choice. It's still in your power to walk away from that commercial system. You know, that's one of the things George talks about. You know, they did a funny thing. They did a study back in the late 60s, early 70s, and it was funded by a grant from the Rockefeller Foundation. And what they discovered was not what they wanted to hear. And what they discovered is that on a 3-acre parcel of land, totally independent and not operating in commerce whatsoever, you could run a farm and bring in $100,000 a year and be self-sufficient and support a family of six.
See, that's a dream.
On 3 acres.
But the government ain't going to let you do that.
Well, they do, and there's lots of people that do it.
Really?
And Mr. Gordon is one of them. You know, there's a specific name for it, you know, and basically you're taking your piece of property and you're measuring it out in square footage. And what you're shooting for is to earn $1 per square foot of garden area. And he makes a funny claim, but, you know, when you stop and think about it, and if you go and research it, you'll find out he's correct. What is the best cash crop to raise? Raspberries.
Raspberries?
$43,000 an acre.
Wow. Boy, think about it, that.
That's a dollar a square foot.
Dang.
He said, you know, soybeans, you get $300 an acre. Which is why you see the farms and they have to have these big, huge fields just to break even at the end of the year. I know, because my grandfather was a farmer.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of farmers around here.
You know, cabbage, you know, that was another thing. He said you get about $3 a square foot. You can grow about one head of cabbage per square foot. And people will pay more money for organic True. Just things to think about, you know. So there, I mean, there are ways to do it. And you deal only in cash. You don't deal with their Federal Reserve notes. You don't have a bank account. You don't get into any of their contracts. You don't contract with them. And if you're not receiving any benefits from the state and the government, then there's no, you know, there's no reciprocal agreement there. And they have no sway over you. And, you know, you think about it, you go back to the scripture, and what was Christ teaching people? What did he tell that guy? Sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, pick up your cross, and follow me. Get rid of all the stuff that ties you to the government. Get rid of it. Leave it behind, because that is what is dragging you down. They've created this big system, and the procurators go out, and they send out the tax collectors to collect the taxes. Get rid of that junk. Then they don't have any hold over you, see? And if they have no hold over you, then you're a free man. And the truth will set you free.
True. Yeah, it is.
And it says in the scripture that the only law that you're bound by are the words that come from the mouth of God.
Yeah, but we're supposed to obey the laws of the land.
Well, you can place yourself under the authority of another because you have an unlimited right to contract.
Okay.
And if you contract with the state, whether it be the federal, state, or the state you live in, or the local county, municipality, then you are bound by your word. And those are performance contracts. You are bound to perform to the four corners of the contract.
You know, and it could be that simple.
It is.
I know people that have went off grid, everything, and then they came after them and said, well, they wanted them, you got to have a certified septic, you got to have a certified water, you got to have certified electricity, whatever. Whatever they could do to, and then they were trying to take his land where he was at.
Well, I'd tell them, I'm sorry, but you're trespassing. And I don't know what. See, here's one of the problems. Here's one of the things. You remember when I got pretty worked up over old Jan Brewer going into the federal court over their Arizona's immigration law. She granted them jurisdiction.
Yes, she did.
Okay. So if Joe Schmo from the city planners comes out and says, you don't have this and you don't have that, first thing you do is you tell them you're trespassing, you're on private property. What the hell do you want? Second thing they're going to do is they're going to give you some kind of summons, and you're going to come down. And what, anytime you've been in court, you walk in, and what does the judge ask you?
You hear again?
Well, but he's going to ask you to enter a plea, right?
Yeah.
So he gives you two options, guilty or not guilty. What you don't understand is that if you plead not guilty 96% of the time, you're going to be found guilty.
Yes. That draws it into a jury trial.
And if you plead guilty 100% of the time, then 100% of the time you're going to be convicted. Now, what he didn't tell you is that there's another option or two available, but he didn't tell you that. See, you can enter into what's called a plea in abatement. And to abate something means to remove it, which is exactly what I did in one of my cases. And they didn't like that. So then they sent the marshal out to incarcerate me and pepper spray me. And I didn't resist. They took me into custody and made me bond out. Then they gave me another notice to appear, and I showed up, and I said, hey, you know, I don't know what you guys are doing. Judge didn't say, he said, come on in, sit down. I was the only one in the courtroom other than five or six deputies and a couple of guys sitting in the back of the room and the prosecutor. He said, we've got some paperwork for you to sign. And they put it on the desk, and it was just enter a plea, guilty or not guilty. And I already knew what they were up to. And I'd already made a plea in abatement, but they ignored it. And I said, that's okay, because I got another card up my sleeve. So I signed it. I put UCC 1-207 under my name, all rights reserved. And I left, and I walked right around the corner to his clerk's office, and I filed a notice and demand for a trial by jury. See, I didn't give them what they wanted, which was jurisdiction. They thought I did, but then I took it away from them.
I love that.
Okay.
Because I know the rules. And by demanding a jury trial, a trial by jury, they had to move it into the state court because the magistrate's court is not able to conduct jury trials. They don't have that authority. And by moving it into a state court, the state is now bound by the state rules of law, and it's a state criminal court, and what I was charged with was violating a local ordinance, and there was nothing in the state law that said anything about the ordinance I'd been charged with violating. So the state couldn't say that I'd done anything wrong, because all the state law applies here. Not local ordinances. That's county. That's municipal. Has nothing to do with state court. So what law is it I've violated, sir? And what law is this proceeding going forward under so that I can present a defense? Is it criminal or civil law that we're dealing with here? Well, it was neither one of those. It was make-believe. They had to make it up. They brought in a retired judge just to hear my case. And they still went through with impaneling a jury. And I told them, I said, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. There are still matters at law that are not settled. The judge kept prompting me to enter a plea. I said, how can I enter a plea when I don't know what law is being used against me? It's not been stated, so how can I present a rebuttal? This is secret law. And it's pretty clear to me that you guys are going to operate under this secret law however you see fit. So you carry on, go right ahead. I'm not going to participate. The jury convicted me. And I told the judge, you might as well put me in jail right now because I have no intention of paying you a single penny. So go ahead and lock me up right now. Nope, they didn't want to do that. They were smart enough to know that also is against the law. So I waited 30 days, and then they sent me a summons to appear for a probable cause hearing, see whether or not they should issue a warrant for my arrest for failure to pay. And when I walked in that courtroom, there was probably 150-odd people in there. There were seven lawyers down at the table. They were arguing some big case. And when I walked in, the judge stopped court dead in its tracks and asked everybody to go sit down. Addressed me personally, Mr. Golden, how are you doing today? So I'm doing mighty fine, Your Honor. How about yourself? He said, there's someone that needs to talk to you. if you all go out in the hallway, and we'll see if we can't get this matter resolved today. I said, that'd be nice. Now, see, the judge knew because I'd already filed five motions in my case. So me and the prosecutor's assistant went out in the hallway, and he looked up and down the hallway to see, you know, was there anybody around? And he says, hey, let's go down here. So we walked down to the end where there wasn't nobody around, and he says, okay, what do you got? Well, he knew what I had because I'd already filed all the motions. I filed copies for him and for the judge, but I showed him my motions anyway. He flipped through them, and he said, you know what? You're exactly right. But I wouldn't mention any of this to the judge because it's just going to piss him off. And I said, well, sir, that's unfortunate because you're going to need to go in there and tell the judge, but he's going to get pissed off. And he says, well, you know, I think I've got an idea. Hang on just a minute. I'll be right back. And into the courtroom he went. Now, my wife was sitting in there the whole time. He's gone about 10 minutes. He comes back out, and he says, okay, now here's the deal. He said, I've talked to the prosecutor, and I think I've figured out a way we can make this go away. I think it's just been a big misunderstanding. I said, oh, is that right? I said, well, let me ask you, how exactly was this whole dog and pony show? How was this constitutional? He said, oh, it was constitutional. I said, how so? He said, well, we gave you a jury trial. I said, oh, is that what you call that? Okay. I said, and what law were we operating under in that jury trial? And he looked up and grinned, and he said, oh, it's quasi-criminal. I said, quasi-criminal, that's very interesting. He says, now here's what we're going to do. He says, when we go back in the courtroom, when the judge calls you up, I'm going to stand up with you. He says, now I'm not acting as your attorney, but I'm just going to stand there with you. And don't you say a word to that judge unless he asks you a direct question. And I've talked to the prosecutor, and I think we've got this figured out. And I said, okay, this ought to be good. I don't know what I'm in for, but I'm down for it. Let's see. We walk in the courtroom, and again, that judge stops, and he says, can I get all the defense attorneys to go sit in the witness box for a moment? There's a matter before the court that needs to be addressed. And so we walked down there. He says, Mr. Golden, come on up. So I walked right up, and that prosecutor's assistant, he walked up there and stood right next to me, and the prosecutor walked up to his little podium. The judge says, Mr. Prosecutor, what do we have going on here today? And he started talking. He said, well, Your Honor, Mr. Golden, and about that time, the assistant prosecutor says, now, Your Honor, that's not exactly true. And that judge banged his gavel, and he said, now, I've heard all of this nonsense I'm going to listen to. I'll not have this kind of conduct in my courtroom. He looked at me. He says, Mr. Golden, your case is dismissed. You're free to go. And I turned around and started to walk out. My wife looked at me like, what the hell just happened? What? And I'm looking at her. I said, come on, get up. Now, she had $600 in her pocket cash ready to pay because she knew there wasn't a snowball's chance in Hades that I was walking out of there without paying them their $600. And she looked at me kind of bewildered like, and she got up and we walked out, and she's like, okay, what the hell was that? And I said, well, that's called a dog and pony show. They didn't want me to read a single one of those documents that I had filed in front of all them poor bastards sitting in there with their hand on their wallets. Because I had them dead to rights, and they knew it.
You might start an epidemic, Rob.
And they weren't, and you notice, you know, judge wasn't about to enter a ruling that I was not guilty. No, sir. He said my case was dismissed, and I was free to go. See, when you beat them at their own game, they don't pussyfoot around. They did the same thing to my son-in-law. I wrote I wrote his memorandum and brief for him, and they had gotten him for, you know, driving without insurance and something else. It wasn't his car, and a whole bunch of just BS. And so I wrote that stuff up for him, and he went to court, and I said, now, you got to memorize this because you can't tell the judge that I wrote it. You've got to tell him you wrote it. And you've got to know it. It has to be your thoughts, your words. And he went in there, and he called me about lunchtime, and he said, oh, man, I'm scared to death. I said, what are you talking about? He said, that judge is pissed. I said, what do you mean he's pissed? He said, he told me if I didn't get a lawyer, he was going to throw my butt in jail, and he might just hold me for contempt of court. And I said, man, he's just trying to shake you. I said, you don't worry. I said, he's going to leave you till the last man standing, and then he's going to have a chat with you, and you'll be done. He's pacing. Man, I don't know about this. I ain't so sure. He called me about 4:30. He said, holy crap, you were right. He said, he called me up there and asked me, he said, you know, did you write this? I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, young man, you've shown, in this brief, you've shown a better grasp of the law than most of the attorneys I see here before me. He said, it wouldn't surprise me to see you walking these halls sporting a suit and tie one day, practicing law.
Now, if you know if I ever get in any trouble, I'm going to call you.
He says, now, he says, son, I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry the court's wasted your time, and I hope you have a better day. Your case is dismissed.
Dang right, I think you'd have won John Gotti's last case.
I don't know about all that now. He's, you know, I mean, the rules are the rules, okay? And I can read them, and I can tell you if you got a chance of beating it or not. I mean, it's just that simple. If you're guilty, you're guilty.
Guilty, you might as well take the punishment. There ain't no reason to lie.
Well, and there's a way to demur, there's a way to plead mercy, there's a way to plead nolo contendere. There's a lot of things you can do. But you might think you're guilty, but you didn't read what you were charged with. You know, when they say, hey, you know, I'm writing you a ticket for driving without insurance, and then you go back and you read the code section and it says anyone who knowingly operates a motor vehicle without adequate insurance coverage and you didn't know, well, then how can you be guilty? If you truly didn't know, you can't be guilty of what they've charged you with.
True. As long as it's is. Now, Ron, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Well, it's not ignorance of the law.
It's just like the when you go
you
by
you didn't
the,
know your insurance had lapsed. You can't be expected. See, there's this thing called intent. That's one of the elements that needs to be established here. And, you know, the thing is, and I try to tell my wife this, when you go into a traffic court, the judge is going to sit there and tell you, depending on what jurisdiction you're in, that this is a criminal proceeding. Well, he's given you fair notice, okay? 99.9% of the time. Remember what I said about demanding a jury trial? And the magistrate's court can't conduct a jury trial. Why not? Because the magistrate's court is not empowered with the ability to try criminal matters. So when the magistrate sits on the bench before court and says this is a criminal proceeding, he's telling you a secret. He's telling you,
yep.
Hey, all you dummies in here, we're about to conduct an illegal proceeding called a criminal proceeding that I don't have any authority or jurisdiction to conduct. But if you capitulate, if you plead, you're granting me jurisdiction, and therefore any ruling I give, you're going to be bound by. So do you bind yourself to the rules of this unlawful court that I'm about to proceed with?
No.
He didn't say it that way. No, what he said is this is a criminal proceeding. And you'll see people, and I've seen it in the state of Illinois. Now, I don't know Indiana and some of the other states, but in traffic court in the state of Illinois, I've seen people go up and they'll make a deal with the prosecutor and they'll plead guilty. And the judge will say, now, do you understand that by pleading guilty, you're waiving your First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution?
Yes.
And they say, yeah, yes, sir, I do. No, they don't.
Uh-huh.
They don't have the damn foggiest
clue.
They don't care. They just know their fine got reduced to $100 and they want to get the skedaddle out of Dodge.
Hell out
That's
of there.
They,
exactly.
Right. That's what
get
they know.
Get the hell
they,
out of Dodge.
They ain't got a clue of the implications of what that man just told them. What he just told you is we are bending you over to hip socket and breaking it off in your backside, and you're going to kiss us for it on the way out the door, ain't you?
And you're going to
yes,
give
sir.
Us money while you're doing it.
See, because you could be guilty. You might be guilty. Then again, there's a chance you might not be. It just depends. But, you know, none of that matters if the proceeding itself is irregular or not right, if it's illegal. And what they do is they perpetrate a crime. That's criminal. They're operating outside of their jurisdiction. They're operating in what's called the color of law. They're disguising themselves as having an authority they don't have. That's actionable under a section 1983. It's called a RICO statute. And it talks about whenever someone sets out in disguise to deprive you of your civil rights. That's called a conspiracy. It's
here
illegal.
Here we have two courts in the county, Ron. We have a circuit court and a superior court.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure when you're talking about magistrates and stuff. We just...
Right. Well, they've got, you know, here you've got a magistrate's court, then you've got a state court, and then you've got superior court. Now, superior court's where you're going to have all your probate cases and your family court, you know, divorces and that kind of thing. State court is for criminal trials, matters of crimes, okay? Magistrate's court deals with ordinance violations and traffic law.
So...
It's like a county court.
So both hold jury trials?
No, sir. The state court can, the superior court can, the magistrate's court cannot.
Okay, that would be all
right. Now, in order to find out what those rules are, you need to go to your state code and your state constitution. State of Georgia, it's in Title IV under Home Rules for Counties and Municipalities and Townships. Because, see, where they run afoul of that a lot of times is that the county court, what you're calling a circuit court there, they will try to enforce county rules and ordinances. But I'm willing to bet that if you looked at your state law, the only people in the state that are authorized to write criminal law is the state legislature, not your county board. So when your county board enacts some ordinance or rule, and then they attach to it criminal penalties like misdemeanor, where you can go to jail and have to pay money, they're overstepping their authority.
Uh-oh.
See, because once they say that, you know, a violation of this ordinance is a misdemeanor, that's criminal. That's criminal law. They're not allowed to write criminal law. Only the state legislatures can do that. Now, they can give you a fine, and they can take you to a higher court and get a judgment against you if you don't pay the fine. But that's about all they can do, legally, lawfully. Every state's a little bit different. You know, if the state gives the county board the authority to write criminal law, well, then, you know, you may be stuck.
I'll have to look into that. I used to have a bookshelf full of law books, but if you know anything about law, you know, they change so constantly that you've got to keep changing your book in and out because everything written in them keeps changing or getting added to.
Well, that depends on which law you're following, Bill, because, you know, what you're talking about is res judica, okay, which is an ever-changing and evolving set of rules. And then there's a thing called stare decisis, and stare decisis is the same today, tomorrow, the next day. You know, the Constitution and the fundamental rights of man, that's stare decisis. It doesn't change. They're not able to alter it. God's law, what's in that Bible, is stare decisis. God tells you in that book, I'm the same today, tomorrow, and forever. He never changes.
Exactly.
But, so yeah, the whole contract end of it, that changes constantly. And, you know, they do stuff like they won't even reword a lot of the code, and don't confuse that with law. they'll just reshuffle the numbers, the sections of where you can find it at, to make it more difficult to find. It's kind of like the old Catholic Church keeping the scripture in Latin so that the peons couldn't read it. Don't worry, we'll tell you what it says. And that's how we operate with our legal system in this country, almost 100% of the people. Don't worry, we'll tell you what it says. And if you're not sure, maybe you should get a lawyer. And see, people don't realize when you hire a lawyer, you're making a statement to the court. You're making a statement that you are incompetent to handle your own affairs. You're mentally incapable. So you're making yourself a ward of the court. Now, the lawyer, if he's got a bar card, he's a member of the bar, and his first obligation is to the rules of the court, not to you. You ever heard of a public defender?
Yeah.
What is the job of a public defender? What are they supposed to do?
Now, as I understand, I read about this from the guy who actually came up with it, and he was very discouraged because it did not do what he had hoped it would do, what it was supposed to do. Public defender, though, basically, all he's going to do is come in and try to make a plea bargain.
Not necessarily. First of all, think about the two words that we're talking about, public, defender.
Yeah, defender of the public.
If you're a defendant standing before the court, you're not the public.
Right.
He's there to defend the public from you. He's also there to make sure that during the proceedings, none of your civil rights or constitutional rights are violated. Said another way, his job is to make sure that when you're convicted, you don't have the grounds on which to appeal and get your conviction overturned.
I've seen many guys that spend their time locked up, they would never be studying the laws and stuff, and many of them would get out.
Yes.
Because they would actually be able to go back and appeal and get out. I've seen guys pull stunts in court. The last time I was ever in court, I remember looking up, and the guy, I didn't feel that great. I had a bad night. Spent the night in jail, but the next morning I'm in the court. I look up, and there's a guy with a goat. He got caught driving drunk with the goat. Goat was drunk, too.
Well, you know, the thing to remember... The thing to remember is the only person who has your best interest at heart is you.
That's it.
And if you find yourself in a battle and you don't know the rules of engagement, you have a very slim chance of prevailing.
I've been to that.
You think about it. Who does the judge work for? Who pays his paycheck? Who does the prosecutor work for? Who pays his paycheck? Who does the bailiff work for? Who pays his paycheck?
Exactly.
You know, here in Georgia, at least, now I don't know how they do it in Indiana, but there is not a single case that they try in any of the courts here in the state of Georgia that are 100% in compliance with the law, because one of the laws in the procedure published here in the state of Georgia is that no judge may preside over any case where he has a pecuniary interest in the outcome or disposition of the case. Now, pecuniary means monetary interest. Well, here in the state of Georgia, anytime someone is found guilty of any kind of a violation that requires them to pay a fine, that a portion of every one of those fines goes into a fund, a pool, if you will. And one of those pools is a retirement fund for the judges. So it would seem to me that any judge presiding over a case in which there's a possibility of a fine being levied would have a pecuniary interest in seeing to it that the largest fine possible be levied in every case.
You would think so. Well, Ron, it's great to have you on the show tonight. You got a final comment?
Glad you're doing well, sir. God keep and bless you, and stay surrounded by family, and I can't wait to see everybody in Delaney.
We can't wait to see you, my friend. God bless. God bless.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Keep your eyes open, ears open. Just pay attention, people, because it is happening. I mean, they're trying to pass bills under your noses, things in there. Just keep your eyes open. Keep the faith. God bless.
Yeah. Well, Bill, glad you're feeling better. You guys be blessed. Be safe out there in that snow that we're having. And I'm going to play a tune and we're out. Thanks for everybody calling in. Thanks for everybody listening.
Everyone, God bless. Thank you for the prayers. And know I'm praying right back for you. See you next week.
There we go.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Meet me, Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in, my Lord. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.